To sync this podcast to the episode, pause now and hit play right after the previously on.
Welcome, everyone. Jesus, Tony was supposed to introduce this episode, but is already so drunk, she can't even introduce it.
I'm not drunk.
It's episode 407, which is called Down the Rabbit Hole, written by Shannon Goss. This is Meryl Davis. I'm here with Tony Graffia, drunk Tony Graffia already.
I have barely taken a sip.
Tony got a little Jan Brady syndrome there for a second.
All right. Well, just blame it on the Irish whiskey. We have Teeling Irish Whiskey, the Spirit of Dublin, it says on the bottle here, product of Ireland. And that's in honor of our new Big Bad, who appears in this episode.
He's not really new, though. We saw him in the opening episodes.
He's new for this season.
Spilliers. We all question exactly how his last name is pronounced. But
Spilliers, I think it is. Yeah. Spilliers. Anyway.
I guess he'd be the one
He's our new for this season.
Yes, baddie.
Big bad. Very bad guy. You don't want to be on a boat with him. Down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
I was named in honor of Alice in Wonderland.
And this is our ode to the peanut. And this is, I mean, for book fans, obviously, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich that Claire was supposed to take back with her back last season, which we really wanted to do and couldn't for various reasons. We still wanted to get it in here, so we decided to send Brianna with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. Directed by Jennifer Getzner, yep, who did a fabulous job on this. Brianna.
You know, we had a lot of discussions in the writer's room starting this off, this episode, because we talked about, obviously, all looking forward to Brianna going back to Lollybrock, but in talking about it in the room, there were a lot of questions about why she would want to go back to Lollybrock. Not that she wouldn't want to see it, but, you know, Brianna going to Lollybrock first before going to the Standing Stones opens up a lot of questions. Like, Jenny and Ian are going to say, who are you and where do you come from and why are you here? There were a lot of discussions about that, even though we talked about her going to Lollybrock. But
also, if there was an urgency for her to get to her parents and warn them about the fire, which in the book, the fire doesn't happen, I think, for like 10 years. So she has a lot of time. We did that a little adjustment where we had the date smudged on the obituary.
Right.
So she doesn't know if it's like 4 months from now or years from now. And we wanted the urgency for the TV version that she really needs to get to them, has a bigger drive to get to them fast. So she really wouldn't like hang out at Lollybrock and just do a little, you know, vacation there. She needs to get to the colonies and find Claire and Jamie. But
I think we also just questioned, even though it does really work in the book, in the drama of TV, it was hard to imagine Jenny wouldn't have more questions and would so easily believe was who she said she was.
Well, I mean, then there's the whole Jenny, issue, which is the actress was unavailable for this episode.
Yeah, well, Laura Donnelly, who we love and we're so excited to have in this episode. Unfortunately, when actors don't appear in all episodes of every season, you can't really put them to a contract sometimes. And so I have to kind of hope that people are available, and Laura was not, and we waited around a long time and tried to convince her. I offered to fly down to London to try to convince her.
We really wish we could have had Jenny here. We do love her. She's a fantastic actress. Yeah. She's doing a play in London.
But she had some other things, and quite honestly, we waited almost too long at a last minute hoping she would change her mind, because Jenny is so integral to that Lollybrock story.
Yeah.
At the last minute, kind of had to redo the story, which actually, while fans will be disappointed, so were we. I think actually the addition of Leary, not everyone's favorite person, but actually added a really great episode and a great touch to this story.
Yeah, it kind of presented a challenge for us and let us go, you know, be a little more creative with this episode, where we had to come up with something that, you know, it's hard to do Lollybrock without Jenny there, you know,
exactly,
because she's so integral and a lot of the story in the book took place with Jenny. We talked a lot about a version with Jenny in it that would have been really exciting perhaps another time, but this I think this was an interesting way to go. And it's actually, it's one of the reason Meryl and I are doing this podcast, because actually I think it's one of our favorite episodes this season.
It is. It turned out, well, it's also so unexpected because we did at the last minute so have to scramble because, and for, I know some people think you didn't try hard enough to get Jenny and we, or to get Laura, and we really, really did. I mean, we love her and tried to convince her in as many, I mean, I offered to give Tony's next born unborn child to her. It didn't work.
The opening of this, I think, was really cool because we actually did it reminiscent of when Claire was on the island in Jamaica, and the first part of the episode was her wandering around on the island, and we kind of liked the callback in those opening scenes you just saw where Brianna is wandering around instead of the hot island. She's in the freezing cold highlands of Scotland, and it's still like a journey she has to take. Lost out in the, out in the landscape.
This was also, as people will notice coming up, we filmed a version of this actually, which will be on the DVD extras for those who look for it. But there was this whole question of whether or not Roger would take Fiona's ring, like engagement ring, like in the book, and he gets spit out. We had a lot of debates. Most of the women in the room, I have to say, all agreed that no woman was going to give up her engagement ring to Roger. Even if she loved Roger, and how do you explain that to Ernie on the way back? We had a hard time imagining why she would do that. We did, though, in our alternate version here that you'll see on the DVD extra, have Fiona give him another piece of jewelry with a jewel, because once again, and I'll say it myself, I would never give my engagement ring to another guy. I think I would not be able to go home to my boyfriend.
Yeah, I think I think it's just sweet that she goes with him, that she's supportive of him. You know, she's in love now and married and has Ernie. And so it's kind of neat that she had such a crush on Roger. But
we didn't really play that much in the show. I mean, I know it's in the book more, but
just a little, you know, when she came in with the scones.
Right.
I think we were like, I think it's sweet. They sort of grew up together, and they've been friends for a long time. We had to shave Roger, you'll notice, because...
Well, we didn't. You and I didn't shave.
Well, no. Meryl and I took him...
Yeah, we didn't do that. Let's not start any rumors, Tony.
But, you know, back in that day, men didn't have beards, so we had him shave, and we had,
We've never seen a clean-shaven Roger yet.
No, I think he looks really cute, though. Yeah. He always looks really cute. See, look, she has to start a fire just like her mom did, Brianna.
No, Brianna's obviously very resourceful. But anyway, getting back to this, before we meet the villainous Leary, just to kind of explain some of our thoughts as we went into this episode. We thought, if she's not going to Lollybrock immediately, who could she run into? And the more we talked about it, this idea of Leary came up, and, initially we talked about, just how interesting it would be to see Leary as a normal person. I put normal in quotes. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just ran into Leary, she'd probably be really cool. You know, it wouldn't be like, we know Leary a different way, and how interesting to see Leary when she's not that crazy
when
person.
When she's not hating on Claire, she's probably...
A really nice person.
Yeah, I mean, she's an interesting person. Yeah. You know, the one thing that she has is she's a good mom.
Exactly.
You know, she raised those girls. We love Marcely. Marcely got her spirit from her mom. And so, take Claire out of the picture, and Leary, is probably an interesting and decent person. And we thought if we showed that side of her, that it could be really neat. And we thought, I think this, we called it like our noir episode. Like it's a little bit of that whole mystery of Brianna being in this situation where there's a woman that has this animosity that, hasn't come to the forefront yet. So it's a little bit of everyone's like on the nail's edge, waiting till they find out who each other really are. So it's a nail biter in that way.
Mm. And also one of the reasons we decided to give Brianna a hurt ankle is because we went round and round about trying to figure out why wouldn't she go immediately to the stones? I mean, why wouldn't she go immediately to the ship? Like, we just could not figure out why she wouldn't, and we needed to have her stuck somewhere. This was the way we thought of it. And had she gone to Lollybrock, obviously she would have stayed a little longer, but to Tony's point, not knowing when this fire happens, there's an impetus to kind of get right. there quickly. And you know, so the ankle issue was kind of our way to postpone her in yeah. this time.
It's almost like a fairy tale. The girl, you know, is hurt and passes out in the woods. And then yeah. the
and here's also Frank. You know, the reason we also, I mean, obviously people love and hate Frank, but the reason we also thought Frank was so interesting in this episode is we realized pretty quickly talking about Leary and Frank, what an interesting parallel it was between them. Here are the only two people in their universe who they've both fallen in love with people, Jamie and Claire. Those people have left them, and then those people have come back, and they still haven't gotten the love they deserve. Right. And Leary and Frank, in fact, are two very tragic figures, but yeah. they're very similar in that they both love people who they could never have, and they've never right. gotten over it.
And not only can they not have them, they were left by those people, like yes. you said, came back, yeah. and they thought, oh, wow, I have another chance at it. And it still didn't work.
It was their love of their life, so they thought. And yeah. how what an interesting parallel that was between them, and how we could kind of also show, you know, yeah. as much as people want Brianna to instantly bond with Jamie, she really has been brought up by Frank. So yeah. exploring that, her difficulty in leaving Frank behind yeah. and the guilt, knowing she's going to see her real, quote unquote, real father.
Right. We love Tobias Menzies so much, all of us.
I think and everybody knows that. I think they accuse us of
yeah,
being
and
too
Frank. I know they like Team Frank and all, but we have a lot of respect for him as a character, and we knew we wanted to bring him back this season, and we just thought this is a really organic place because this is where Brianna's moving towards, you know, finding and getting to know her biological father, and what better place to, you know, naturally memories of the father who raised her, who's gone now, would come up as she does feel that pangs of guilt about, you know, I feel like I'm leaving my father behind.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just throw him away because I'm going to find Jamie. And so, yeah, I think you naturally would be thinking a lot about
yeah,
the man who raised
factor.
You.
Yeah. And a shout out here to Nell Hudson, who we just adore. While she plays villainous Leary in our show, she is the most lovely person in
she
real life.
She's so nice and so great.
And it's so fun to have her back on our set.
She did a great job in this episode. And she's got a high bar there because she's got to play, you know, she's not one note. She's got this side to her where, I mean, look at her house.
No, but
she's got a home and these girls.
That's what's so great. She's actually, I mean, that's the key. You want to see the softer side of Leary here. And obviously, we wanted to see, I almost called him young Ian. you want to see older Ian.
It's great to see Stephen Cree yes. again. And we thought it'd be fun, you know, to bring him just to keep the fans yelling at the screen like, oh my God, Jamie's daughter's in the next room. Like, get up, you know, go show him who you are. And
yet, but also, this was the fun thing, which we got to go back to beginning of season 3 and hear the other side of the argument
right.
that, and hear during Frank and Claire's
yes,
argument in episode 3 of last season to have
yeah.
see that young Brianna heard the first part of
we
it.
We used the same dialogue. We just yeah. dropped in this dialogue, and she's remembering, because remember, Claire says, you know, or one of them says, be quiet, we don't want Brianna to hear. And, you know, like kids often do hear their parents fighting, she was up there hearing it. And this reminds her of it.
Because really, I mean, something we didn't explore is the Brianna side of last season, what she knew about the relationship of her parents.
I think they thought they did a good job of, you know, hiding it. But I think if you grow up in a house where the two parents, you know, there is this giant secret between them about Jamie and time travel. And, you know, kids are smart. They're going to intuit that something's amiss. And I think they put on the best show they could for her, but she's no dummy. And, you know.
Well, we also, I mean, as we'll see in this episode, I mean, and we'll talk about it a little later, we did love, once we started talking about this more and more, we love the idea of showing the Brianna kind of journey with her side of the Frank thing. And also sometimes I know people are like, oh, Sam and Katrina aren't this episode. sometimes it is nice to give those two a break. work an awful lot.
They work so hard.
So it's nice for them sometimes to get a little bit of break. Because we did talk about putting Claire in at one point, but the Frank story just offered us more avenues. And also, once again, it is sometimes nice to let the actors have a little bit of a break.
Frank that we love, and that I know the fans are like, don't want Frank coming in between Claire and Jamie. But the part that we're exploring here is Frank as a father.
Yes, exactly.
And that you cannot fault him for.
No, he was a great father.
A great father.
Yeah.
A man that could love, the child of his rival, essentially, is a hero. I've said before, and I'll say it again.
And here, once again, we talk so much about wanting to see Leary's side of it, and not that we know what she's done, and it is inexcusable that she tried to get Claire killed. Absolutely. Hmm. But I want to see what Leary's side of it was, what she was feeling. You know, this young woman who got spurned so early, and why she feels so hurt by Jamie, and what her perspective is. It makes for an interesting character study.
Yeah, it does.
And of course, Layla Burns, who is just the cutest Joan McKimmy.
She we love is her. Adorable, and we wanted, She's in ways a stepsister. She's not a blood sister.
Well, because they're not Jamie's real children. Yeah, and real in quotes. Obviously, they could be.
Stepsister-like.
Yeah. If only Leary was like this all the time.
I know. Oh, but it's great to see them together. It just gives me the chills to see them talking to each other, not knowing. Neither one knows who the other one is.
I will say a lot of fans will be like, come on, how does Brianna not know who Leary is? But, we have no idea how much Claire told her. And she does mention her. But, just hearing her name, in that time, Claire, was much more common name. It would be like Susan knew.
In the finale of season two, I believe it was, Claire tells her the whole story in one night. She's like, sit down, get a glass of whiskey. I'm going to tell you a story, and tells her everything. So I don't think Brianna keyed on that fact because there was so much information being downloaded to her that she doesn't, remember the name Leary.
Yeah. And it's nice, also to see two sisters who don't realize they're kind of sisters, not by blood or anything, but, talking about. And also, sweet. I mean, obviously, while Jamie did not live with Leary and her daughters very long, he made a big impression on them, young Joanie still remembers him and, a way of bonding of these two girls.
I love all of these scenes because there's so much.
He's loud.
There's so much subtext.
Yes.
Where they're talking about the same person and they don't realize it. And they can open up to each other the way that you open up to a stranger who you think has no connection to the people you know. And then later it's devastating when you find out, oh my God, we are talking about the same person.
Yeah. But also, once again, hearing here when young Joanie says, yeah, he broke her heart, she didn't love him the same way. Same with Frank. It's like, it's interesting to see what the kid's perspective was of the Jamie relationship with Leary.
This is a great scene because, they have a special relationship, father and daughter here. And in one of the earlier versions of this scene, we had it that Frank had gotten a letter that one of his students had been killed in Vietnam and that he was sad and drinking and, in grief over it. And later came up with the idea that instead we use this obituary that she had found and that since Frank had asked the Reverend to do research for him, he gets... he gets word and from through this communication here that Claire's gone back. And we never knew that in the show or in the book that he knew that she does go back. And that must have devastated him. He doesn't realize that it's after he dies, of course, that she goes back. Yeah, as far as he knows.
I think in the book he gets confirmation, but we hadn't. Because we never did the...
Well, in the book, he plants a grave for Jamie in case Claire goes back. But I don't think he ever knows that she does go back.
No. You're right. He doesn't go back. Yeah. I just mean that...
It's a little different in the book, but we just thought, since we're doing this obituary, you know...
We thought it was a cool thing that she could refer to later that, oh my God, my dad knew, you know.
Right.
Potentially.
She doesn't know it here. Because if
she
looked at
it here,
she wouldn't recognize it. And that's why it's a cool connect the dots thing where we're planting things. But showing why Frank was so devastated.
Yeah.
And also that this tips off, you know, the change he made.
Yep.
What made him all of a sudden at one point go, I'm done with this marriage.
Yeah, I'm finally
going
to move on with Sandy.
I'm going to move on. And we figured let's explore his motivation and show that it was the finding this obituary and knowing she's going to leave me.
Yes.
He doesn't know when. He doesn't know if it's tomorrow. Yep. He doesn't know if it's next year. And he doesn't know that it's going to be after his death. But if he thinks that Claire is going to leave him, and now that Brianna's grown, this is what sparks his exploring other jobs, moving to England, and you know, and it was it's a really cool Easter egg here, I think.
Yeah, and we also had him struggling. We were like, should he tell her, or she start to? At least we want him to start to think about telling her.
Yeah,
you know.
He's absolutely thinking of telling her here. I mean, he's because we always wondered, like, was there ever a moment where he wanted to just say, enough with this charade? Here's what's really going on. Yeah. You know, because it must have been hard for him to keep that secret all these years, even though he, you know, and he kind of wants to say, I mean, he's been putting up with, you know, living with this secret and knowing that Claire loves another man. And part of him just wants to say, here's the real deal, you know, but he would never do that. He would never hurt her. And that's part of why we love him, is that he never defends himself or says, hey, you know, do you know what I'm doing? Do you know what I'm going through and sucking up every day to be in this family, to love you? And he never, you know, he never takes credit for that. He'd rather her be angry at him than to hurt her. And
but
that makes him a great father.
At the end of the day, though, I mean, we have talked about the fact that really Brianna ends up being the true love of Frank's life. You know, it's never going to be clear. At once he realizes she has another love of her life.
Right. I mean, I think he held out hope for Claire. He says, he has that line in a Matt script where he says, could you have ever forgotten Jamie? And she says, you know, both of our favorite lines in the whole show ever, that amount of time doesn't exist. So I think at that moment, if Claire would have said, you know what, I really do love you, I could give it a try, I think he would have stayed with her. But he was never going to get that answer, so.
Why don't we use bedpans anymore? Is that called, no, that's not called a bedpan. Bedpan's something you pee in, sorry. What is that called?
Chamber pot.
No, it's not, though. No. Chamber pot is also something you pee in, but, you know. Obviously, we're
know
not
that
the prop
was.
People
that was...
on the show.
Hmm.
It might be called a bedpan, actually, now that I think about it. That it's used to, obviously, heat the bed back in the day.
Bed warmer?
Yes, bed warmer.
It's a bed warmer, I think, yeah. It's like an 18th century heating pad or electric blanket, right?
Exactly. We're so spoiled now. Yeah. We did talk about how, obviously, you know, Gary Steele and his team did such an amazing job, but with this and... Once again, we talked about how we really had to scramble on the script because we held out for Laura Donnelly for so long. So it was really hard to on production. And we're so sorry, production, because we put out this script very late and scrambled. So actually, Leary ended up having a little nicer pad that she probably would have for someone who really needs a lot of money from Jamie. So sometimes these things happen when you're scrambling to find a place. But it's still, you know, a cozy little dwelling.
I think it's great how they bond here, and it's just...
Well, they probably could have been friends in another life.
Well, ironically, she and Claire may have even been friends in another life if they weren't interested
if she hadn't tried to kill her.
Well, there's that.
Sometimes there's that puts a damper on friendship. If you tried to kill me, I probably wouldn't be friends with you anymore.
Mm. Yeah, but, you know, in those times, look, Jamie, you know, she was a very naive young girl, very, you know, protected by, you know, living in that castle. And Jamie takes a beating for her. Jamie, you know, kisses her.
Yeah.
She fully, in those times, that's full on, like, he's marriage material. They're headed for a union. And
it's really Jamie's fault.
Well, I'm not going to knock Jamie because then I'll get a lot of flack for that. But Jamie, you know, at the time, he, you know, this was all pre-Claire.
It also was very hard. I mean, talk about hard being a single mom back in the day. I mean, yeah, even now, but, you know.
Yeah.
And we just once again love this idea of seeing the softer side and seeing...
humanizes
what she
her.
Yes, exactly. And
you know,
it makes a character because sometimes if you're too one note,
that's right. And I, even if the fans, there's fans that hate her, a one note villain is never, never effective in any story. And I think humanizing her, in giving her some depth of character is a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, here we cut to, the Roger story. And at one point early in the script, we had talked about possibly doing two halves. I don't know if you remember that, we were going to do the entire Brianna story and then do like a part two in the second half hour, do all of Roger. Because we've never done an episode that way where it was like split in two halves. Yeah. But ultimately, we decided to intercut them, and I think it works better that way.
Yeah. And we at one point actually were trying to figure out because... We were trying the logistics of it where we're like, would Brianna have already left? Is she still there? Like, when is he going? And we had a...
it was hard to make them... We couldn't have him... If she was going to stop and see Leary and see Lollybrook, if he was on her heels, he would have gotten to the New World before her. So we purposely came up with this thing of Bonnet saying, I'm not going straight to North Carolina. I've got a bunch of stops along the way to delay Rogers so that to give Brianna time to get there before him. These are the things that are not fun in the writer's room. Yeah. When we're breaking stories, there's a lot of time travel or a lot of logistical things that we have to sort out to make it make sense. And, you know, sometimes that's the hardest part of breaking the story. But you come up with a creative solution like, who's to say that all these ships are going straight to Wilmington? We can, you know, easily say, hey, you know, Roger's in such a hurry to get there and there's no other ships leaving for Wilmington. He'll take this ship.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Even if it makes a few stops.
Well, also, it's not like now where, you know, there's a flight leaving every hour.
That's right.
It's like one ship. Also, speaking of ships, that ship is added in digitally, actually, as is a lot of this... some of this dockside stuff, the ship wasn't there when we actually filmed this. We add this in post. The old coin.
Now Roger, of course, chooses to go by his, you know, his true name, his real name, back in the past, as opposed to Wakefield here. Four ports before Wilmington.
Bonnet's so dastardly.
We had to put a hat on Roger, right, because his hair wasn't grown out long enough at the time or something. There was some crazy reason, like...
No, it wasn't. It's very hard when you...
We wanted him to have long hair in the past because he'd stick out like a sore thumb if he had that sort of Beatles cut that he has.
But the problem is it's so hard when you're doing two scripts at once and you're cross-boarding, cross-shooting... you know, things don't go in order, so
right.
You can't always rely on things like that. I did not realize before this episode, I'll admit it, that Sophie had such a lovely voice. I didn't even know she could sing. Most of our actors have great voices, except Sam. Actually, I've never heard Sam sing, but I just kind of assume like Jamie can't sing.
Jamie's
maybe
supposed
he can't
to be
even.
Tone deaf, but
I'm sure he has a lovely baritone, melodic voice. And here's where it all goes wrong.
Ooh, the
and this is where the fun theory comes in. Yeah. Yeah.
I think
the record scratch moment. Yeah, here's where it all goes wrong.
this is the moment. I have to pour a little more here.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta buck up for this. Oh my god. This is great.
But it's and once again, another nod to Nell for doing such a great performance here and going from the Leary you love to the Leary we know and hate.
This is where the demon.
But also, it's just like
rises.
She just. I mean, there is a small part of me that really does feel sorry for Leary. I mean, she just can't escape Claire in any form.
She thought she'd gotten rid of Claire. Here comes the daughter. Yeah. That must be heartbreaking.
But also, Leary trying to stab her in the back kind of is like, you know, oh, yeah, I've heard your dad left you. And
well, you know, and Leary, you know, she...
Fight or flight.
It isn't even just that Claire took Jamie. Back in these days, if you thought someone was... I mean, the stuff Claire did, she really thought she was a witch.
No, of course.
And back then, that was a super serious, as we know, you know, the witch trials. That's a serious thing. So it wasn't just like, oh, there's this nice person who's dating my boyfriend. Yeah. You know, it was like, this is a criminal. This is a scary, dangerous person. So you've got to remember the time.
We've totally become Leary apologists.
I know. I'm sorry. I know. We're going to get...
hate mail.
Oh, we're going to get hate mail for this, but...
Now, I want to say that we, in this scene, it is true and that this is our fault. And I love a good cream tea myself, but even I know that cream tea doesn't happen until the afternoon. And, of course, we brought a cream tea to Frank in the morning. So apologies to anyone in the UK who thinks we've done this wrong. We know. I love a good cream tea, though.
They are in Boston. She could have just brought him, like... you know, a latte and a donut or something.
No, but we also, it was kind of also our nod that she knows some of Frank's, you know, UK-isms and stuff, but she wouldn't get them perfect.
Right.
She wouldn't necessarily that a cream tea was in the afternoon.
That's right.
And isn't a good scone good all the time?
I never question someone bringing me a tray
with scones and tea.
Yeah, I never say no.
Mm. That's what we should have had, actually, with this instead of alcohol.
I know. Oh, maybe for the next podcast, you get some scones in here. You can put a little Irish whiskey. You could put some whiskey in a coffee, and it'd be an Irish coffee. Hey, that's an idea.
Note to self. Once again, also, I think the other reason we felt it was important to show a little more of the Frank Brown relationship is because, you know, that is, you know, for future episodes, we just felt it was important to show what their relationship was like and why it would be so hard for her to. And as anyone who has a step parent or someone else who might have raised them and feels torn between two loyalties, you know, if you're brought up by someone that is your father, and just because you're not blood doesn't mean that person isn't a true parent to you. And we wanted to see a little more of what went into that relationship.
Yeah. Because we really haven't seen very much. We just saw, like, the graduation and, you know, a couple moments. But we didn't see any full scenes with Frank and Brianna. And this was our opportunity to do it.
Yeah. Oh, Leary.
Oh, Leary. Yeah, there she goes.
Excuse me for saying anything, but you know, your dad left you.
She's trying to sow some seeds of doubt here and...
We did talk about here also bringing in the pearls. This was a much discussed. We actually did have Brianna go back with the pearls and did show them at one point, but ended up taking them out for various reasons and having Leary fight over them. That was a discussion initially that because we did want to try to do it close to the book and that scene in the book where Leary comes over and sees the pearls and tries to get them away from her at Lollybrook. That didn't quite work because we were also trying to figure out, you know, if she said she didn't have any money or anything, why is she not?
You know,
there were just so many other issues, but she did bring them back with her, but we just don't see them, so we could bust them out at any moment.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, when Larry gets upset here, thinking that maybe Brianna's some sort of witch, because Brianna is saying something that sounds crazy, which is, I have, you know, information about the future. They're going to die. And it's like, how do you know that? Like that, all of that stuff was very suspicious back then. You could not go around saying things like that. People were very afraid of anything in the spiritual realm that sounded like you're messing with fate and the gods. And
but that was another reason why we wanted to show the softer side of Leary, because we wanted Brianna to trust her. We wanted Brianna to feel like she could confide in her for this moment when everything changes. And that's never fun when someone calls your mom a whore.
A whore, no. And poor.
I know, poor Joanie.
But we had to have Brianna likewise defend her mom, because once she does realize, oh no, this is Leary, she's got to say, hey, you know, my mother didn't mean to hurt you. Exactly. She wasn't trying to. Yeah. Claire never tried to do anything bad to Leary. She didn't, you know.
But that's what makes good drama, different perspectives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here's where hospitality's over.
I think a lot of people also might ask us, which is kind of a side note and probably not quite as important, but why didn't we make Leary a little more, as we call, Zoftig? You know, Leary, it doesn't age well in the books. There's mention of that. But we just didn't think that was important. For us, I just don't think that made a difference to us.
No,
there were so many ways to show Leary it had a tough life.
Yeah. I mean, I think we know that part of the reason it didn't work with Jamie when he did come back is she'd had several husbands and she'd had some bad luck, maybe even a domestic abuse situation that made her, you know, afraid of men or closed up. She just had a really
not great life.
This is actually one of my favorite scenes in the whole, maybe the whole series, definitely in this season. We loved, you know, we constructed this after, you know, as a callback to, you know, the fight that they have in season three where Frank says, I'm taking her with me. I'm taking Brianna with me to England and she'll come with me. I know she will. And he was so confident and cocky about that. And we actually, the writers started talking about, what if she wouldn't? I mean, look, he's saying he's divorcing her mom. He's telling her, I'm going to take you out of the country. You know, that's not a slam dunk there. So we thought, what if we play this scene? You know, we've always, you know, assumed that Frank just had this fight with Claire, slammed the door, left, got in the car, and gotten straight in the car accident. But we thought, let's play this scene that's not in the book, which is to have him go find his daughter and say, look, I've asked your mom for a divorce. I want you to come with me, and let's have her say no. Let's have her make Frank wrong, and let's play it like it might have really happened, which is she's shocked and hurt and upset, and she tells him no. And then how tragic that he's killed right after this, and to have her get out of the car and him say, I love you, and not say it back. That is everybody's nightmare for everybody.
Yeah.
That if someone was... You lost them.
Yeah, and we wanted to see him on the night of his death again, but also adding to the guilt factor for Brianna and why she's having so much trouble later. But also, admittedly, we did retrofit this a bit because had we, you know, obviously had we known we wanted to do this earlier in the season, we probably would have had Brianna acknowledge this conversation somewhere earlier with her mom. But still was just... It seemed like such a great scene in here, and still, I mean, there's a chance she wouldn't have acknowledged it as well. It wasn't a sure thing.
No. Well, I think she didn't. We did retrofit it, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it sometimes that happens in the writer's room where we go,
is it a problem?
You know, should she have said to her mom, I know, because he came and
said
to me. But I think she's so upset. I think it's the kind of secret and the kind of thing that happens that's so upsetting that you carry the pain and the guilt of this. And it's too painful to even admit to somebody else. I mean, to say, I know what happened. He came to see me and I rejected him and I didn't say I love you and I walked away and then he died. Like, I think that's something, it's too painful for her to admit to her mom.
Also, I mean, excuse me, a case could be made that Brianna thinks to herself, had I said yes, maybe we would have gone to get ice cream or something, or something would have happened that would have changed the trajectory of his, the course of his
life. And that's what she's going to say at the in the graveyard scene after this. She's like, I think she says.
if not, she should have.
I haven't seen this for a while because we're working on season five. It's always a joy, by the way, to just go back and watch these because we're working on the new season and we've kind of haven't seen this in a while. And I look so much forward to these podcasts because it's like, we get to see that episode, which was we loved so much, and be reminded of it. It's just like fresh again. And I love the graveyard scene because I think she says there, if only I'd have gotten, you know, if I hadn't gotten out of the car, if I would have gone with you.
Yeah, she just said if I'd stay in the car that night, maybe you'd still be here. Which is very hard for a child to carry around with them. It's
I love this. I just think it gives a depth to their relationship. And it's the kind of thing, you know, we get to come up with and we're proud of. And it's not in the book, but it's something that could have been in the book. I mean, I suspect that Diana would be, I don't think she would object to this scene. I think she would like it because it's emotional. It shows the love between father and daughter, which I think is really one of the important pieces of this puzzle. You know, it's Claire and Jamie's show, but this is, you know, this is their daughter, and it shows something tragic she went through. And I think it's super important, and I love seeing it.
Yeah, this is one of those songs that you can't get out of your head after a little while. Those are sea monsters.
Yeah.
I think Tony, do you think you would have survived a voyage like this?
Oh, God, no.
I don't think I would either.
I would be totally seasick. I do not like
to. You get seasick?
Oh, my God. I went on a cruise once, and I thought I was going to die. Huh. Now, here's a great moment from the book where Roger is meeting,
Morag,
unbeknownst to him, his one of his ancestors.
Yep, Morag McKenzie.
And the baby, Jemmy.
Yep. Which might be connecting a future season.
It might be,
but we won't ruin anything for people who haven't read the books.
No spoilers.
We love this idea of showing Stephen Bonnet, kind of like Larry. For a second, you think, oh, he's a good guy. Is he going to kill the babies? What's he going to do? And then he puts whiskey on the gums. And we're like, oh, maybe he's not as bad as we thought.
Yeah, that's probably
exactly
maybe
how
Irish whiskey.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it is.
It's probably
exactly what he did with Claire and Jamie.
Yeah, it's probably what we're drinking right now.
Yeah.
Spirit of Dublin there.
Because once again, and this is, I'm not a writer, but I play one in the writer's room. I do think for the writers, it's like, you know, it's very easy, you know, when you're talking about villains, it's easy to make them just very one note, and you have to give them layers to make them more interesting.
And yeah, I love the motif of Bonnet, you know, relying on luck, and we're going to hear more about it in a scene coming up. But, you know, that he lives his life with this sort of chance, you know, gambling spirit where everything's got to be a flip of a coin or, you know, up to Danu, the god of luck. He's very different from Blackjack in that way because he's a villain, but, you know, comparing the two, and people ask a lot about comparing the two villains. Blackjack, we didn't really know anything about his background or his history, and he just seemed like cruelty for cruelty's sake. Whereas this guy, Blackjack seemed like a very unhappy person. Never really saw him laughing and joking. And this guy, he's a little more, he's got this side to him that's charming and funny and laughs and tells stories. And yet he does just, you know, as great, if not worse, cruelties. Blackjack, you know, was a kind of equal opportunity sadist, as we like to call him. This guy's got a more practical, you know, this is a horribly cruel thing, but in that time, you know, he believes he's being a pragmatic sea captain that's not going to risk the lives of people on the ship because of this disease. So,
well, it's certainly a cruel introduction to this time period for Roger.
Another reason why I would not want to survive on a ship.
You'd have been thrown off the ship by
God.
Now.
God, I would have probably jumped. But we love Roger, you know, for standing up to him. Yeah, that's what I love Roger. He's an academic, you know, he's a professor, you know, he's not a superhero. But once he goes back, you know, into the past, he is a strong guy that fights and stands up to things. And his character really emerges as, you know, it's like a Clark Kent, you know, when he's in his little sweaters and his professor outfit. And then suddenly, you know, he's going toe-to-toe with these kind of villains. I think that's what makes us love Roger, is he has this other side, you know.
I will say, just from a production standpoint, side note, that it was very hard to film all these scenes. We were kind of limited because we actually brought some of these interiors we brought with us from South Africa. That were interiors we last season, but because we didn't have a deck and we certainly didn't have the full ships, we couldn't bring the whole ship back from South Africa. We were kind of limited because once we get on the deck, if we'd had one, there's a lot of visual effects involved with the ocean and it becomes very expensive. So we had to try to get creative about ways to see Roger and where he was and Stephen Bonnet. In the end, though, I do think it works because it's very claustrophobic as a ship can be.
Yes.
But these are some things that, you know, when you're in the writer's room and you're thinking of stories and then the writers go out and write them, then you have the realities of production sometimes, again, the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
I mean,
and
yeah, you're right.
Slash the dreams of writers.
It's more difficult to shoot the deck of the ship because you've got to use green screen as opposed to making it an interior. So I believe in the book, he throws them overboard over the railing and we had to do a creative solution where we had him throw them out the window of the captain's cabin. Yeah.
But you'll notice that the captain's cabin was actually the cabin we used eagle-eyed viewers from season 3.
Oh, don't give away our secrets. Don't tell them.
We did a lot of talking about how we really, really, really wanted Brianna to spend some time at Lollybrook and meet everyone. You know, obviously, with a change of story, we couldn't, but we still wanted her to go. We're sad we couldn't spend more time here, but there was so much story to tell here. And once again, we just needed her to have some kind of push to get out of there to get to her parents.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there wasn't a lot of conflict to play at Lollybrook because, you know, Jenny and Ian are happy to see her and they take her in without any questions. And then in the book, it's a lovely sort of respite from in her journey. But when there's not conflict and drama, we on TV, it would just play like, oh, I'm hanging out and, you know, being embraced by family.
Yeah.
That way, we were able to do it here because Ian...
And Ian's not going to ask any questions.
No, he's a trusting soul. He's a trusting soul. You know,
he's not going to be like Jenny and be like, what?
No. Who are you? Where are you from?
Wait a second.
That's another reason we didn't use the pearls is because the pearls in the book are what she uses as proof of who she is. Like, hey, I've got these pearls from my mom and she doesn't need proof here because we have Ian. He believes her.
And there's no reason not to also believe her.
Well, she's got red hair. She's Jamie's. I think he feels it and sees something in her that, you know, and
but I mean, think about it. These days, in contemporary times, it's hard to believe that he would believe her at all. But that's because we've got a lot of scams going on, a lot of people. You know, in the day, there weren't quite as many, certainly. People didn't just go around saying they were Right. Yes, there were criminals that certainly did that, but it was a completely different
world. What would be the reason she would come here? You know, she's not a con artist.
Of course, money or clothes.
She does take certainly, some clothes back with her for Claire. Yeah. In fact, we...
So she did get a lot of money, so she could be a scam artist, but...
Yeah, she's not getting that from them, per se, but I think they miss Jamie so much and Claire, and they're just thrilled to learn that they've got this relative and they that they embrace, you know, her as part of the family. Yeah. And don't forget that, you know, their son Ian is over there with Claire and Jamie. Yeah. So if this girl says, I'm going to the colonies, they're like, tell my son hello and I love him, you know.
Yeah.
You know, here's where we get to see Stephen Bonnet. He tells...
Which we fought for, by the way, because there was
fought for
a risk in editing of getting cut this story.
Yeah, it's a very long story in the book. We condensed it as much as we could in the script. And even then, it was very long on screen. And it was cut at one point because, you know, we have to come bring the show in on time. But when we saw it without the story, we just felt that just to have him flip a coin and go, well, he's a guy that likes to flip coins... We felt it gave a depth to the character of this villain to know why and what made him that way is that somebody flipped a coin for his life when he was young, and it traumatized him so much that it was part of the catalyst of what made him this kind of sociopathic character. And so we fought to put it back in, and I think you really need it. But what the audience probably doesn't know is that every time, say, you and I go back in and go, we really need this 3-minute speech.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, find 3 other minutes to take out of the show somewhere. And sometimes you have to sacrifice maybe a piece of another scene that you also love. And it's really hard sometimes to decide, what do we take out to fit this in? And how do we prioritize? Because you always write a little longer than what you need.
But also Ed does such a great job here, and it was a really lovely performance by him. It would have been a shame to lose it.
Yeah, I think if a guy said, oh, I'm gonna flip a coin for your life, you might not even believe him. But if he tells this story of how he was almost killed, then you go, shit.
You Tony, say we'll have to bleep you.
I know, you say, this guy's for real.
Yes,
he's gonna kill me if this coin flip doesn't go my way. You know he's serious about it.
Poor Roger. It's like the guy is like, I just want to get to my lady love.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you do these podcasts and you find yourself watching along and forgetting to talk.
I know. Well, in this section,
which it
for
just
sure,
happened, obviously,
this is so tense right here.
Also, it's from the book, obviously, but it's great that Rod, so many people have crossed paths with this villainous dude.
Yeah.
You know, Jamie and Claire, and obviously now Roger. So it's,
And I love these moments because I call them kind of like, I don't know, the crashing of the dream of time travel. Because whenever people think of time travel, they're like, I'd love to go back in time. It'd be so fun. And then you realize, okay, this is what happens.
Yeah.
You're on a boat and a guy's going to throw you off, you know, because this is the time. It's a very dangerous time.
And once again, viewers will notice that Brianna has taken a piece of her mom's clothing from season one. You'll recognize that coat when she walked with Galus in one of the episodes.
And on the beach, I think.
Yeah, and we wanted to give her warm clothes as she continued her journey, because Leary's clothes would only go so far. A lot of people will also ask us why we didn't have Ian stay with her the whole time, because there was debate. It's like, certainly Ian wouldn't see her off before he saw her the ship, but you know, we did also want to be able to do this this moment without him with Lizzie, and also the Frank moment we wanted to be able to play as well. So we kind of made that decision, even though we know some people would be like, there's no way Ian would leave her. before he saw her safely to the ship. And we get that.
It's kind of like today's airports. You can't go all the way to the gate. You have to just drop them off.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, but we always, I think Frank waving goodbye to her at the pier was always one of the first, you know, flashbacks that we thought of in the room for the Frank story, because we kind of had this idea that it's such a momentous journey for Brianna that in some ways she needed her father's blessing in a way. And so in her mind, if all she could have thought of is how angry her father would have been at her for going to pursue Jamie or anything, mm-hmm. she couldn't have actually done it. It would have psychologically gotten in her way. And we wanted to show that he had raised the kind of daughter that he would support whatever decision. He raised her to be smart and brave. And if she wanted to do this, he would have been behind her. And that's how much he loved her. And so this was a way to dramatize and show that in her mind, the way he'd raised her was to give her this gift of, I'm on your side no matter what you do, and I'm always here for you, and I'll always love you. And that's what, you know, him standing on the pier and waving to her is meant to dramatize.
We also originally questioned whether or not we should have her say Brianna Frazier, or people think we butcher Frazier. It's hard for me to say it the other way. But we kept it that way. And I believe in the book, she also continues to call herself Randall, because she really doesn't think of herself as a Frazier yet. And we love Lizzie, Caitlin, O'Ryan is so amazing. And we got very lucky finding her, yeah, this moment makes me cry every time with looking back to Frank. I mean,
it does.
It brings tears to my eyes because it is. It's. I mean, this would be such a hard journey to make. I mean, going back on your own, leaving everything behind, and that's what this is all about.
Well,
it's leaving some of the past behind in order to move forward.
But also feeling like the people who love you are always with you.
Exactly. Yeah. No matter where you go.
She's leaving him, but he's always there.
Yeah. Or is he?
Well, he just disappeared. He just disappeared, so I don't know.
No,
he's
but
under
you're,
that,
you're
he's
right.
under that hood somewhere,
exactly,
I think.
Exactly, you're right. I cry every time I see
I know.
This.
I love this. I love this father-daughter thing. And
for those of us, people who think we are purely Frank fans, we're not. I mean, you know, in future episodes will be a lot of
keep watching.
You know, there's a lot of Jamie Frazier and Brianna too. Which she doesn't even know yet. But you know, she was brought up by someone else, and
There's room for two men,
exactly.
For her to love two men,
yeah.
And two fathers,
yeah.
And that's a testament to her character and her upbringing. So
exactly.
I love this. I love this episode.
I do too.
I really hope everyone enjoys it. I know it's a little different. This is probably the most out of box episode we've done. But I love it and we're proud of it. And I really, really hope, I look forward to the comments. I hope people enjoy it.
Yeah, me too. Well, I hope everyone has a good rest of their day, evening.
Signing off from Los Angeles. Great to do this with you too, Meryl, because I know Meryl and I have just talked about this episode.
Tony.
The whole
season.
We
really do love this.
We fought to say we have to do this podcast because we love this episode the most. So, it was really fun and we'll be back next week. Some different commentators, yep. But good night for now.
Signing
Thank
off.
You.